Your At Work Radio. Every day, 9 to 12. Only on KC 107.7.
Welkom terug hier saam met my, Michelle, by KC At Work. Die nommer om saam met my te gesels, 082-414-1077. Ek verwelkom my gas vanoggend hier saam met my, en dit is Dr. Marihaan Cronje. Baie, baie welkom.
Hallo Michelle, en dit is lekker om hier te wees, en ai, raak ons nie nou jaloers op die luisteraars wat so lekker weggaan en ja. in a lekker vakantiestemming is nie.
Absoluut, en lange baan, kyk hier,
ja.
Lekker langs die strand gaan loop, dit, en daai is vir my soos 'n vakantiedorpie.
Dis reg.
Daai is my, een van my gunsteling plek om na te gaan. So ek hoop hierdie luisteraar geniet elke oomblik. En sy luister vir ons wat nog moet.
Ja. Ons wat in 'n ernstige gesprek is hier vanoggend.
Absoluut. Dr. Marihaan Cronje, a caregivers counselor who specializes in educating other informal caregivers on how to stay emotionally and spiritually well before, during, and after caregiving by embracing their experiences. Dr. Marihaan, I'm so excited about the topic of today's session. Do you want to share it with our listeners?
Yes, Michelle. I think last time we spoke, there were listeners that asked some questions, mm-hmm. and I've promised that in the next sessions, we will share some of those. So today, I want to share the caregiver's guide to self-care, because we will now going deeper into the profile of the family caregiver. We see that there are more to the person, or actually any person, than just a child to care for a parent. And we're going to do it in two parts. So today we will cover one part and next week part two. And that will help the listeners to think about how they can take care of themselves so that they can be there for those they care for. And this is now the part where we come to make a difference between a formal caregiver, one that received all this knowledge, and an informal caregiver like you and me that have to suddenly care for someone.
Yes. Like your parent or your mom or your dad.
Your child or your husband or whoever.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we've navigated through the stages. You've already, you shared tips that can help through these stages. How will this guide be different?
So we know that Christmas is a time for peace, love, be together. But for those of us that are family caregivers, it can turn out to be a difficult time.
Mm.
And caregiving is not easy, not for the caregiver and also not actually for the person who receives care. It comes with sacrifices and adjustments for everyone. But many people find that caregiving provides a sense of fulfillment, and they like feeling useful and needed.
Mm.
And some caregivers even learn more about themselves and find more meaning in life through this experience. But despite all these benefits, the emotional and physical stress of caregiving can take its toll. So the ongoing demands of taking care of someone else can strain even the most resilient person. And we know when caregiving strikes, you never know how long this will last.
Yes.
And too much stress, especially over a long period of time, can harm your health and your relationships. Because we've discussed it previously, you start to isolate yourself and your world becomes so small. So it's crucial that you look after yourself because of this.
Mm.
And you know the human body is actually so wonderfully made that it can withstand a lot.
Mm.
But it's remarkable how long, and sometimes year after, taking care of someone, diseases can just appear following this stressful traumatic event, because it is an event.
Yeah.
It has a start and it has an end.
Sure. You've mentioned the caregiver's personality, behavior, and emotions in the previous shows. So can you tell us more on how it affects the informal caregiver?
So yes, now I want to focus on the informal caregiver as an individual. And to guide them to take care of themselves. So that actually involves the interaction between your spirit, your soul, and your body. We're not just one part.
Mm.
We're a whole person.
Yeah.
So before we can identify what happens to the body, actually, during this journey of caregiving, we must first see how the spirit and the soul are involved. So family caregiving is actually generational. If we think about people you read about in the Bible, we see the average period between generations is more or less 20 or 30 years. A generation then refers to all the people born and living at about the same time. Grow up, they become adults, and now they have children. And now we have a parent child relationship.
Yeah.
So understanding your generation and those of your caree can help you to better understand their values. You may constantly find yourself in the sandwich generation, and that we spoke about, between generations to care for, both for your elder parent and for your younger generation child. So there is a list of social generations that you can go and Google, but I think it is safe today to say for us that Generation X, that is more or less people born between 1965 and 1980, they are the children of the silent generation, or the baby boomers, as we were.
Yeah, yeah.
And are often the parents of the millennials and Generation Z. So this is but only one example, and we have so limited time, so people can actually go and read about it,
yeah.
But I think they can then start to relate. So you are here, your parents is actually in another generation, and your children is totally in another generation. So also a family caregiving is also about spiritual awareness. You must stay true to your values, be effective, and align your life with your unique talents and gifts. And when I talk about spiritual here, it's any religion or any person. We all have a spirit side. So that means that we often do what we believe is correct for the sake of relationships, the expectations of the community, or just to survive. It is only when we know what our values and our beliefs are that we can plan effectively to take responsibility for our lives. So values you can control, like giving and being in this situation. Remember, we talk here about caregiving.
Yeah.
Give more pleasure to you as you do not depend on others to give them to you. And if you value recognition from others highly, I think about not feeling good enough, or you wait for people to tell you how proud they are of you taking care of your parent, or they put value on you and you feel good about that. So that is actually... you may feel disappointed as other people are in control of giving that to you. And, Michelle, it is a fact that people do not give recognition easily.
Yeah.
So spiritual awareness is an element of care that enhances the healing process of the caree. Care is implemented when there is involvement and empathy. Mm-hmm. And that comes actually from your spiritual side. It's not something you can learn. It's not a skill.
Yeah.
So most caregivers then exclusively focus on the physical care of the body. They just want the person to heal or get up and go. But the elderly, they often identify that the spiritual dimension is a form of care because they had more closeness to spiritual aspects throughout their lives. And then lastly, we also have our intra and our interpersonal intelligence, which include being able to control and admit your own feelings, You must motivate yourself, maintain social relationships and emotional intelligence. We know by improving our emotional intelligence that can help you use your brain more effectively because it is linked to your cognitive ability as well as your spiritual and physical well-being.
So what consequences might someone who serves as an informal carer face if they fall short in any of these areas?
Yeah, so it is common for the family caregiver to sometimes feel angry, frustrated, worn out, sad, and alone. So caregiver stress can arise when a person is so focused on the needs of the person he cares for or she. They care for what they lost sight of what of about their own physical and emotional health. And it is important to improve your emotional intelligence. You must know your personality, as we said. Know how your personality type handles stress, because we are all different, and they relate to stress, suicide, low self-worth, drug abuse, depression, worry, and illness.
Sure.
Because if your personality clash with the person you care for, it's a constant conflict.
Yeah.
So emotions are naturally entangled in the care of a loved one, but remember that you are not your emotions. You have to know what to do in specific situations with your carer. Instead of stressing out about your loved one's behavior in a situation, say they get a panic attack when something is not working, you need to know the practical solution to it. This may involve additional research into their condition or training in a piece of medical equipment, say, for instance, an oxygen machine.
Yes.
But the thing is, you know the person you care for. It is a unique situation. So that is why it's sometimes, like you said, with your father.
Yeah.
It's easier to stand back and someone else help in certain situations because you're not so emotionally involved.
Yes.
So the person with the most flexibility in any relationship influenced the relationship. And in this case, the one that care is actually the one that must be more flexible because you don't know, like for dementia, where that person is. They cannot take control of the relationship. So behaving badly does not make someone a bad person. It is important for the family caregiver to know that separating the behavior from the person is important.
Sure.
Understanding the interaction between spirit, soul, and body and the ability to process emotions better will make the road as a family caregiver so much easier to walk. By enhancing your emotional intelligence, you will start to recognize your own feelings and the origins of your emotions and to distinguish between the feelings and behavior. And that is an important aspect that is especially important when taking care of someone else. The logic then is that you must first be comfortable with yourself. Because if your own life is not in good order, you will transfer all your negativity to your carer and all other relationships. When you know your thinking patterns and you can change it, when necessary, you will take responsibility for your own feelings and then not start blaming it on others.
We've come to the last question of today's part one. What will the effect be on the body when you neglect all the above because you will not be spiritually and emotionally strong enough then, if I understand this correctly?
Yes, you're totally correct. So caregivers do a lot for others. Because there is so much on their plate, many caregivers don't spend time taking care of themselves. You don't have time, you're too tired. For example, they are less likely than other people to get preventative health services like annual checkups and to practice regular self-care. And as a result of this, they tend to have a higher risk of physical and mental health issues, sleep problems, chronic conditions such as high blood pressure. It's one. And they are even at an increased risk of premature death. And we saw, as I mentioned in the first interview I had with Green, that statistics show that many caregivers die before their caries.
Sure.
And that's actually because of this.
Yeah.
So it is not always obvious when a person needs help. It may seem like certain problems are unavoidable or a normal part of caregiving. It's just you go day by day.
Yeah.
But there are ways to make things better. And some of the signs to look out for in caregiver stress is feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, anxious.
Mm.
Become easily angered or impatient. But, I mean, that's actually a normal thing of any stress-given situation.
Yeah.
Feeling lonely or disconnected from others. Having trouble sleeping or not getting enough sleep. We saw last time on becoming numb.
Mm.
That is one of the reasons. You're feeling sad or hopeless or losing interest in activities you used to enjoy. Having frequent headaches, pain, or other physical problems that you go to the doctor and they cannot find
yeah.
any problem. You're not having enough time to exercise or prepare healthy food for yourself. You're skipping showers or other personal care risk. Now it becomes serious. Imagine you neglect those. What about your carry?
Yeah.
Misusing alcohol or drugs, including prescription medications. Identify your own sources of stress. You must ask yourself, what part of this is hardest for me? What can I not do? So it might initially feel like it's all too difficult, but you may be able to pinpoint certain tasks that are causing you the most stress. Don't wait until you are completely overwhelmed. Learn what your own warning signs are and think about changes you could make. Last time I gave a whole list
yeah.
of tips, as yeah. you said. And then another thing is, what about long-distance caregiving? What about children that living overseas or actually are not able to be with the carer more often?
Yeah.
So that also brings its own kind of stress. And sometimes long-distance caregivers feel guilty about not being closer or not doing enough or not having enough time with the person. They may even feel jealous of those who live closer and can do more. Many long-distance caregivers also worry about taking time off from work, being away from family, or paying for travel. So even though they're far away and might not have the same stressors as the primary caregiver, long-distance caregivers should be aware of when they may need help too. And remember, we talk about like what I do to be a go-between person
yeah.
between those people.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is from my side. And as I said, we have so limited time. And all this is in the course of the caregiving and then also in the workshops. And we do a lot more on this topic then. So next week, we will look at solutions on how you as a family or informal caregiver can equip yourselves in all of these situations or areas. So I know the listeners want to have quick answers and solutions to fix some of the problems they face. But are they? We will wait.
We will and wait see. And see. We're looking forward to the to yes. next Thursday. Dr. Marianne Cronier, she's from the Caregivers Counselor. Thank you again for coming in.
Such a pleasure.
And always advise and give good, your give good advice. Soos ek vir jou ook vroeger gesê het, ek het al met jou gepraat, een of ander tyd gaan almal in so'n situasie kom, waar jy dalk self versorging nodig het, of jy is in 'n familie waar iemand na aan jou versorging nodig het. En soos ek gesê het, ek saam met my pa deur dit gegaan het, wat vir ons ook belangrik was, is dat ons een caregiver gehad het, en nie elke dag een ander een nie, want ons wou hierdie persoon deel maak van die familie, haar leer ken, sy moes ons leer ken, en ek dink dit is ook een belangrike aspek om aan te raak.
Dis reg, en ook dit is dan, met ander woorde, as ons sien, ons het tyd, waar ons gekom het by die expectant caregiver, as jy nog tyd het, hoe belangrik dit is om jou in al hierdie areas eindelijk te equip. Ek meen, dit is nie net vir caregiving nie, dit is vir elke dag.
Ja.
En ook hoe belangrik het is as a caregiver om ek wil amper so emotionally equipped te wees, want jy gaan nie net met jou carry werk nie.
Nee.
Jy moet nou 'n ordentlike gesprek hê met 'n dokter.
Ja.
Jy moet hospitaalpersoneel kan hanteer. En hoe meer emotioneel vatbaar jy is, hoe meer druk plaas jy op 'n alreeds onderdrukte systeem.
Ja, jy is eintlik in die familie wat met jou wil praat.
Precies.
Hoe lyk hy vandag vir jou en wat dink jy? Jy moet, soos jy sê, jy moet alles, jy moet die dokterskennis sê, jy moet die sielkundige wees, jy moet die vertrooster wees, jy moet drukkies gee, daar vir die familie in die huis, wat ook sien, die persoon gaan deur 'n moeilike tyd. So ja, a caregiver moet al die dinge.
Jy kan nie bekostig om emotionele uitbarsting te op plekke wat
absoluut.
Ja, dit kan bekostig.
Dit is so interessant om met jou te gesels, Dr. Marianne Cronje, maar ongelukkig, is ons tyd altyd net te kort.
Net te kort.
Ai. Maar ons sien uit na die volgende keiertjie saam. As jy enige vraag het, sê nie gewee waar kan die luisteraars jou kontak?
Goed, hulle kan my kontak care@caregiverscouncil.com. Hulle kan gaan na die website vir resources, of hulle kan my kontak by 082-784-1474, of op die WhatsApp nommer, wat op die WhatsApp lijn is, op die website.
Daar het jy dit, en as ek het vir jou weer met herhaal, jy kan vir my een boodskap stuur in die atelier 082-414-1077, en ek sal vir jou met graagte al die inligting aanstuur. Ek weet, dit was, met die vorige week was daar luisteraars wat agterna inligting gevra het, en Dr. Marianne Cronje sê, ons kan met liefde dan weer al inligting deel met jou daar buiten.
Casey at work on Casey 107.7.